turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. As we dismiss our children's church, ages 12 and under, head back to children's church. Mark, chapter 4. If you're in the Pew Bible, it's on page 592. Begin reading in verse 35. The Bible says, "On the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him?" Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, that this passage would come to life for us, that you'd help us to see the truths here. Help us to see the importance Christ makes in our lives, especially when we go through hard times. Father, I pray that you would draw us close unto yourself, and may you be honored and glorified. In your name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Over the past several weeks, our country has been plagued by hurricanes. It seems like one after another has slammed into our coasts. First was Harvey, then Irma, and then Maria just recently leveled parts of Puerto Rico. In our country alone, these storms have already killed 150 people, and the death toll keeps rising. We see these images, and we are saddened as we hear reports of whole families, little children swept away in the tide and carried away, and all that has happened in these places. The survivors themselves are left with nothing. They've lost their homes. They've lost all their possessions. Some whole communities have been destroyed. And we approach this passage in Mark where the Bible tells us of a great storm on the sea as the disciples and Jesus were headed. And we look at this and we can see these images in our mind and we can begin to appreciate a little bit how the disciples reacted, right? It's a lot easier to tell somebody, have faith, when you're standing on the shore and you're not tossed around in the boat like a flapjack. Amen?
That's right.
It's a lot easier for somebody who's not going through hard times to look at you and say, just trust the Lord, brother. And these platitudes that people tell us to help us through difficult times, while they are true, often seem trite. We come to this passage. We see this storm. We see where Christ is. We see the reaction of the disciples. And there are several truths I want to bring out this morning that hopefully would be an encouragement to us. First, I want us to see the problem they faced. Look with me in the text. Look at what the Bible says was happening. We see first a physical problem, a temporal problem. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. So here the disciples are in this boat, and they're headed out on the Sea of Galilee. Now when we read the word ship, that's, when I think of ship, I think of a battleship. Amen? I think of a big honking ship. I don't think of what the Bible here, it's kind of being generous when it says ship. It really should read dinghy. And I read this passage and immediately in my mind I think of Gilligan and the skipper and their little boat. That's where the disciples were. They're not in some cruise ship heading down the Sea of Galilee. No, they're in a little fishing boat that's not much bigger than this row of pews. It's a small ship. And the Bible says that they were besought with a great storm of wind. The waves were crashing against it. The wind was howling. And the Bible says the ship was floundering. It was being filled with water. And this was before the day of bilge pumps. I could see Peter and James and John, you know, guys, come on, we got to bail this thing out. You know, Thaddeus, stop fishing and grab a paddle, boy, we're sinking. This is where they were. They were floundering. They were about to drown. That leads us into their spiritual problem, theological issue. Whenever we get in a bad time, what's the first thing I usually say is, whose bright idea was this in the first place? Amen? How many of you have ever used that expression? Yeah, especially, you know, I say it somewhat sarcastically when it's my own bad idea. But whose bright idea was it to get in a boat and head out and the storm happens? Whose idea was it in the first place? Look what the Bible says. Jesus said, "Let us cross." In Matthew's account of the story, the Bible says the disciples actually followed Jesus into the boat. So here you have a passage where Jesus is the one that led them out onto the water. It was his idea to get in the boat. They were only following Jesus and they wound up in the middle of a storm. And to top it all off, Jesus isn't pulling his weight. He's not bailing out the ship. He's sleeping in the back. The Bible says he's on a pillow. When my boys, and I love them, when you have a job to do and you give them a task, Steve, you relate with this. You give them a task to do and you're like, do this, and they drag their feet. And they don't, and they're like, they give it like a half-hearted, okay.
Every day.
Yeah, yes, okay. Here we go. You know, I'm like, son, the other, I lost it. Have you guys just lost it with your kids? I lost it. I'm like, son. When I tell you to do something, you get up, you go here, and you do it. You don't sit there and drag and do this. No, no, no. When I say do this, you get up and do it. Here's Jesus sleeping. What do the disciples say? Carest not that we are perishing. They woke him up. They woke him up and said, Lord, don't you look around you. Look what's going on. Don't you see what's happening? We are perishing. We are dying. Don't you care what's happening to us? Don't you care that we are sinking? You're in the boat with us, Jesus. We're sinking fast. Notice what Jesus does. He gets up and he doesn't answer the disciples first, does he? The Bible tells us that the first thing Jesus did was he looks at the storm and he says, what?
Peace.
Be still. That's a polite way of putting it. In the Greek, he's literally telling the wind to shut up. Be silent. Quiet. Be at calm. And what happened? The storm, it calmed down. The storm ceased. The Bible says there was a great calm. It's like my house after the boys go to bed. There's a great calm. There's a great calm. But the boat was still full of water. Nowhere in the text does it say that magically the boat lifted up and dumped itself out and set itself aright. The disciples were still soaking wet, right? You're in a boat full of water, you're going to get wet. Here they are, soaking disciples. Jesus just calmed the storm, but they're still soaking wet. I want you to keep that in your mind because I'm going to come back to it later. So put a pin in that and we're going to address that later. But I want you to be thinking about this. Jesus calmed the storm, but the effect of it was still being felt. The disciples were still wet. The boat was still full of water. And he gives the disciples, secondly, two questions. Why were you afraid? And why don't you have faith? The first one, why are you afraid? Are you kidding me? Why are you afraid? Jesus, you know, John's ralphing over the side of the boat. We're being flipped upside and down. I'm soaking wet. The storm was blowing. Winds were crashing. We were sinking. The boat's full of water. What do you mean? Why were you afraid? Look around you. Look at the tempest. Look at the storm. Look at the trouble. Look at the trial. Look what's going on. What do you mean? Why am I afraid? The disciples wouldn't be human if they weren't afraid. And Jesus asks, have you no faith? What Jesus was saying by the second question, he's saying this. He says, I understand the storm. I understand the situation. I brought you here. What you got to do is stop looking at the storm and look at me. Yeah, we're floundering. Yeah, it's rough. Yeah, the boat's going under. But I'm with you in it. I brought us here. And I just didn't send you on a ship. No, I brought you here, and I am with you through it. Why could Jesus go to sleep? I'm amazed he stayed asleep, to be honest with you. I don't know about you, but if anything like that were happening to me, I would be on the side of the ship throwing up. I couldn't sleep. Here Jesus is sleeping. Why? Because he has a full confidence of who is in control. He knows the one who commands the waves. He knows the one who commands the seas. The psalmist tells us, by terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. The psalmist is saying, we know, God, you control all things. You control the weather. You calm the seas. You even calm the people. And that's what the disciples, they were amazed because the seas obeyed him. Why were they amazed? Because I don't think yet they quite understood who Jesus was. But you and I know him, yes?
Man.
We know who he is. We know he's in control of all things. We know Jesus had a purpose in putting the disciples on the boat. So what's the answer? All of us have problems, right? Does anybody in here not have a problem? I've got two blonde ones. My grandfather used to say, if you would walk up to a house, any house in America, and knock on the door and ask if there were trouble, they'd say, if they said, no, they were lying. Some of us have marriage problems. I don't. My wife's perfect. It's her husband that's not worth shooting sometimes. Disease. Death. Some of us are hurting
ways we can understand. And a lot of times when we get in these places, we look at the circumstances, we look at the pain, we look at the sorrow, we look at this raging storm, and we don't realize that it is Christ who is with us always.
Amen.
He never promised that He would calm all of our storms, right? He never said, you're going to have it easy in this life. Don't worry about it. As one preacher used to say, if the Christian life is a bed of roses, remember, roses have thorns. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where our own flesh is weak. We are going to get sick. We are going to suffer. We are going to have troubles. We are going to have trials. That's normal living on this earth. But no, for the Christian, they are not purposeless. Jesus brought them on the boat for a reason. They went through this struggle. They went through this trial for a reason. And Jesus was there through it all. He did promise, no matter what happens, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we know that whatever comes in our life, whatever troubles we have, whether they be physical, whether they be marital, whether they be financial, whatever struggles and trials that come, the pressure of life that seems to overwhelm us, we have a Savior with us. Yeah. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He is riding in the boat with us. And Jesus says the same thing to us as He did to them. He says, look at Me. Have you no faith in who I am, in what I can do? Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, it hurts. But I'm here. And though He's not going to always make it all right, know He is with you through it all. Accomplishing His purpose for your life. And even when the storm ends, oftentimes there's water damage, isn't there? I guarantee you can go around this communion, you can find places that still show signs of where Matthew hit last year, right? Yeah. You can go to places in New Orleans. Hurricane Katrina was almost 10 years ago now. You can still find places where Hurricane Katrina left its mark. I remember when we first moved to North Carolina in 1998, they would tell me, yep, that big tree, Fran brought that down. There's going to be parts in our life that aren't the same. There's going to be a grave marker. There's going to be an empty place at the table. There's going to be sorrow. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be the effects of which you still live with. Brother Glenn Bass isn't here this morning, but you talk to him about what he went through last year, and you hear him wheezing and breathing. Yeah, his trial, the big part of it may be over, but he's still living with the water damage.
That's right.
Those of you that know my family, I've shared this before. We were out there dove hunting yesterday. Edward took me out dove hunting. That was fun. I was afeard for my life a little bit, but I was fun. A couple times Edward shot, man, you gotta put your head down. Man, I don't know, I say anything to upset him, you know. They say, no, pellets are raining down. We killed two birds. I killed two birds yesterday, and I was excited. I killed that first one. Man, I'm calling my dad. I'm like, Dad! He loaded the shells that I killed it with. I'm like, Dad, your shotgun shells are dove approved, man. You know, they don't just bust skeet, man, they bust doves too. And he's like, oh, that's awesome. And I'm taking pictures of it, and I'm holding up the bird. Called Becky, I said, tell the boys we're having dove. And she said, well, you better kill more than one. I did, I killed two. We had dove nuggets. That's what we had. Everybody had a little one. I brought those doves home, and I was excited. The boys were excited, and I brought that bucket out, and the doves were in there, and I pull them out, and, you know, they're like, oh, Dad. And the thing about the doves is when you first kill them, man, they're flopping.
Wouldn't they have been sitting in that bucket for about 20, 30 minutes? That rigor mortis sets in. And man, you pull that bird out, and I mean, it's like, you know, you gotta pry his wings open, you know, and Nate's, you know, Caleb's got his picture with the bird looking at it. He's, you know, folding the wings back and forth. I'm like, who needs action figures? Just give him, you know, dove. We gutted those things, man. We cut that thing open, and you know, I'm showing him. I say, yep, that's his heart. You know, that's his lungs, and you know, and it's like free biology lesson. Who needs, you know? And I had those two boys right there with me. And this usually doesn't happen. When I see those two boys, there should be a third one there. I went out to clean that bucket that I borrowed, and the spigot right around the back side of the house, there's that stone that we made a few years ago just to remember the child we lost in India. And I'm cleaning that bucket out, and I see that stone there, and it hits me. It doesn't always happen like this, but I remember the pain of being in that hospital room, Malik Hospital in Gurgaon. I remember sitting in that room as they wheeled Becky in, as they were about to take her back to the operating room to remove the body of my child from her womb. And I remember looking at the dog lying in the corner. I remember looking at the blood stains on the sheet as they were lifting my wife onto it. I remember wheeling her back into the operating theater and the nurses and doctors taking their shoes off and walking back there because their shoes were dirty but their feet were fine. I remember the fear. Lord, we just got here. We've been in India 2 weeks. And I'm thinking, I'm going to lose my wife. Because this ain't no sanitary establishment. I want to see their sanitation grade. It ain't, you know, they ain't got no A. I'm thinking she's going to get some infection. Because when Nate was born, she had that spinal headache, you know, you get with that spinal tap thing, you know, they had that. Now we were back in the hospital with Nate, and at least Cape Fear Valley was a little bit more modern than where we were. And I remembered all that in an instant. And the hurt of missing that third child. And I look at that, and I look at where God has brought me. You see, I followed Christ to India and lost a child. We go where Jesus wants us to go regardless of what happens. Yeah. And just because you're following God doesn't mean you're not going to hurt. Doesn't mean you're not going to suffer. But I look at my life and how God has brought us through that. And I look at what God has shaped in my heart because of that. And the days and nights I would spend begging God, looking for Him in His Word, and the revival He brought in my heart because of what happened to my child. That doesn't make it any easier. The pain's still there. There's still a missing spot where our 3-year-old should be. No, he'd be six or seven now. There's going to be water damage. That doesn't go away. But that's there, I think, for a purpose. I can point at that marker and remember the pain, but I remember the promise. Jesus didn't leave me when that happened. Jesus was right there with me. Jesus didn't forsake me. Jesus didn't let me flounder. Jesus, in His own way, calmed my heart. And the growth He brought in my life and how He uses that and uses all the situations of pain and suffering in my life, how He has used it to shape me unto the praise of His glory and His marvelous grace, how He has used it to build in me and shape and mold His servant. That is something that unto his glory.
And when you're in situations like that, all you can do is trust him. He knows what he's doing. And you can marvel at the God who shaped the world from nothing is shaping you. He is molding you. As the prophet says, as the potter molds the clay, he is shaping our lives. And sometimes the potter's marks are visible. The water damage is there. But Christ is there with us. And we must not fear, but have faith that he knows what he is doing. He knows what he is doing.
Amen.
Jesus is worth. He is worth all that I am. He is worth following, even though the road is hard. He is forever faithful. He will not leave. He will not forsake us. Let us but trust him. With every head bowed and eye closed, please. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the trials that you face. I don't know the problems. I don't know the sorrows. But I know my Savior. See, as I thought about this yesterday, as I looked at that stone, God is bigger than our storms. I don't know what you're going through, what troubles you may face, whether it be sickness, whether it be financial problems, whether it be physical problems. I don't know. But I know he is faithful. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world. If you say, Brother Travis, would you pray for me? I'm going through something in my life. I've got these issues. I've got these struggles. I've got these storms. Would you just pray for me that I would lean on Christ through it? Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? I won't embarrass you for the world. I just want to pray for you. Your hand's up there with mine. Just pray for me. Thank you. Put your hands down. God is faithful. If there's anything you get from this narrative, from this passage, know that God is faithful. He is there with you through it all. Just trust him. Just trust him. Father, Lord, I thank you for how you have worked in my life. You have challenged me again as I read this passage. And Father, there are days when I look at my boys and I miss our child. I never held him or her. All I have is a grainy photograph. Lord, I trust that you know what you are doing. And I thank you for where you have brought me. And though the storm is ended, though the trouble ceased, I still remember my pain, but I remember your faithfulness. May you speak to the hearts of those here this morning. May they leave here and go out in a renewed confidence that you are there with them, that you will not leave nor forsake them, that you will bring them to a place by your providence, that even though they have followed you, Lord Jesus, you are right there in the midst of the storm. Father, I pray we would trust you, that you would comfort and calm our lives, so that we may trust and look and serve unto the praise and glory of your grace.